Bring this one in.
Sure. In 3, 2, 1, let's go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Daft on Draft. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon, or social media, the fake Corey Kinnon. We took yesterday off. We needed an off day. We needed a rest day. Sometimes it's just better to take a break, and we needed to do that. Corey is feeling a little bit under the weather. He's about to have his Michael Jordan flu game today because we have Daft or Draft, and we have a big one today. We are doing all wide receiver talk for this Daft or Draft, and we are talking about three of the top receiving prospects in the NFL draft. We have some hot takes. We're going to daft them, or we are going to draft them. Corey's going to read them off, and then we're going to answer them. But first, I have to ask, Corey, how are you surviving right now?
I'm doing better. Again, I'll probably have to mute up throughout this recording and cough a little bit, but I've got my glass of water with me, and I'm ready to go. So I'm doing a little bit better today. Slept quite a bit today, and I'm ready to roll.
Then let's get to it. What is the first daft or draft?
Yeah, so the first Daft or Draft, let's start with, again, this is a wide receiver edition. So all three of these are related to wide receivers. So let's start with Luther Burden. Daft or Draft, Luther Burden would be better off transferring to a school that can utilize him versus entering the 2025 NFL Draft.
Oh. I'm going to daft this. I want to draft it, but I think when you have the hype that he came into the season with, obviously the production hasn't been great so far this year, but with all of that hype, with his athleticism, and with the questions that he has on tape in his game, it might hurt him more if he went back to school, went somewhere else, used him more as a traditional wide receiver, and people saw that he wasn't very good at it. I'm not saying that he isn't, but we don't get the opportunity to see him be a real wide receiver. Plays primarily in the slot. He runs no route tree from the slot. Yeah. And most of his production comes on finding holes in zones, on crossing patterns, on screens, some verticals here and there. There is practically no nuance to his production whatsoever. He's fantastic after the catch. He's got a great frame. He's probably 5'10", 5'11", 210, built kind of in that running back mold. But I don't see the nuance and detail as a route runner, even asked to do what he is asked to do. Like, I had this conversation earlier talking about Trey Harris in the Ole Miss offense. Trey Harris does not run an expansive route tree. He plays for Ole Miss. But what he runs, he does at a high level. He has high levels of detail. He is able to really play with defensive backs and make their jobs difficult, even if his job isn't incredibly difficult or expansive in that offense. So that is my thing with Luther Burden. I think with the hype he has right now, even on a down year, it's probably going to be a top, I want to say a top three, but like legitimately a top five receiver in this class, probably still going the first round. So if I'm him, I can't pass that opportunity up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to adapt it too, because first round money is more than NIL money for a year.
Yeah.
But what makes me a little bit skeptical is that top 10 money is much different than top 20 money. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like millions of dollars different.
Yep.
And so if you can transfer to somebody who will give you a bag for a year, and you can prove that you can play on the outside, and you can run more than verticals, slot fades, screens, deep outs, there's something tempting about that. And the guy has less than 300 yards in his last five games total. And no touchdowns. One rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
One touchdown, no receiving touchdowns in his last five games and less than 300 yards. Like, that's rough, man. His production
and,
has...
And not just that, but he's not even the number one receiver on that football team right now. No, and he hasn't been all year.
Right.
Even when Cook was healthy, Weiss was getting more work.
Yeah.
Dean
Brugler still has him as his 10th overall prospect in the class. If he goes top 10, sure. Like,
and if Dane has him at number 10 still with the production issues, with the issues that we see on his tape, you have to assume that that's what he's hearing as well.
Yeah, you have to. And like, again, we're kind of betting on trades at this point. When the production was there last year, we know what he's capable of. But his yards per reception are down 3 yards. His touchdowns are way down. His reception, everything is way down this year. And again, they've had some pretty abysmal quarterback play. But like, you would think because they have abysmal quarterback play, they would find ways to get him the ball more frequently in space, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
You would think that would lead to more touches for Luther Burden. But it's not happening. I'm going to adapt it, though, too, because, again, you can't turn down top 10 money. You can't do it. And again, I think betting on traits, I still think he's the more explosive receiver out of the two guys that we've talked about pretty predominantly as the top wide receivers in the class. Although we both have a third guy that we think deserves to be in that conversation and maybe at the top of that conversation.
I have a fourth as well.
Oh, you have a fourth too. Okay. Yeah. But I do think he's more explosive and more fluid than the typical top mocked guy. I do like his ball skills. His yak ability is still tremendous. So like he has the tape that show these elite traits. And I think NFL teams are still willing to bet on those traits versus production in a pretty, pretty bad offense this year. So I'm going to daft it as well and say, nah, he's probably going to declare. But again, if his production keeps trickling down like this, then like, I don't know. But like 2 weeks ago against Alabama, he had 3 catches for 3 yards as a potential top 10 pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And again, production is production. But that's still that's next to your name.
Yeah. And like I said the other day, two of them were screens and the other one was a hitch route that the corner was playing 15 yards off and the quarterback scrambled and got it to him.
Yeah. So I'll draft it too, just because that is life changing money to get drafted in the top 10, which is still where Dane Brugler has him, which is still where and just frequently, like, just frankly, I think his tape is still pretty good. Even if you have to go back to when he was being utilized best early in the season or to 2023 to kind of see that, that tape is still out there. So I'm going to go ahead and daft this one as well.
Yeah. So let's get to the next one. What is it?
All right. Moving on to the next after draft. Let's talk about the wide receiver in Arizona that is getting top 5 love, wide receiver 1 love. And here's the dafter draft surrounding Arizona wide receiver, Teteroa McMillan. Dafter draft. His body type is actually a negative compared to being a positive for his NFL translation and draft stock.
Yes, I'm going to draft this. Is he a one-of-one freak of nature with what appear to be like 36-inch arms? They probably won't be. They'll probably be 34, 34 and a half, 35 maybe. But like, he has absolute vines. And on top of having those vines, he is actually able to maximize them as well. The way that he catches passes away from his frame is unique. Nobody else can do what he does. But we have to look at the comps for him, because there aren't many guys in the world like him. So when we're looking at comparisons to Teteroa McMillan, Drake London is one. T. Higgins is another. I'm trying to think of who. Mike Evans is like the high end of it, but even Mike Evans was 15 pounds heavier than he was and more explosive. Yeah. I struggle to see. And listen, he is definitely smooth. He's a smooth mover. He's a good route runner. And that's kind of the thing for me, like nuance, detail, it's all there as a route runner. And there's not a lot of wasted movement for him as a route runner, despite having those long legs. But he just doesn't have a ton of juice, and he doesn't have a ton of juice because he's 6'5", 220 pounds. And I just think the NFL game today has shifted all the way towards rewarding speed, agility, route running, natural separation ability, rather than his kind of archetype of receiver. Mm-hmm. I don't see where, and even if he is T. Higgins, Drake London, those guys aren't worth a top five pick. Even now, like London went eighth overall. He doesn't have a 1,000-yard year yet. He is not the number one wide receiver on his own football team. The number one wide receiver on his own football team was never a number one wide receiver before he got there. So you're that guy. You have a veteran quarterback who played with somebody who was a natural separator, but could also go up and get the ball against anybody anytime. And he wasn't afraid to test those windows. But those windows aren't being tested with Drake London in that offense with that quarterback. So I just sit back and I think he has to be Mike Evans, a one-of-one guy, to be worth that top five, top 10 pick. Because just recent history, or history in general, is not favorable to a player like this. Now, if he could run a 4.3 like Randy Moss, it would be a different discussion.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
He's going to run a 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be lucky to run a 4.5, in my opinion.
Oof.
I'm talking for anywhere near 4.50. I think he's going to be in the 4.55 to 4.58 range.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Again, we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, so I'm going to draft this one as well. That the dominant parts of his skill set and the weaknesses of his skill set do not match his body type. For example, I think he's incredibly fluid at that size, but that's a trait you typically see in a smaller, twitchier wide receiver. And yet he's 6'5" and he can do those things, which is definitely a positive to be able to do those things at 6'5". Like, I don't want to throw that around as it's not. What he's doing after the catch this year was not on his tape in 2023. He's showing a lot more after the catch, the ability to make a man miss in the open field. Again, you've mentioned no wasted movements on his routes. He is incredibly fluid, very, very good hip sync at 6'5". And that's rare. But at 6'5", if you cannot separate, which we both kind of discussed that, like, we don't think he's an overly explosive athlete, and it's pretty caked on his tape that he doesn't get a lot of separation, then you have to be able to play through contact. Mike Evans, and even Mike Evans, Mike Evans is a different story because Mike Evans separated through brute force. Like, when he stacks somebody, he tends to leave him in the dust. But Teterowa McMillan doesn't have that level of play strength, in my opinion. Even with Drake London, former basketball player, he could elevate vertically and separate in the air. Again, Teterowa McMillan has vines for arms, which helps him. But I don't think he's an explosive athlete like Drake London was, to elevate vertically and separate in that way either. So I just, it's hard to see how that body type, without being able to separate either in the air or vertically or play through contact, is going to be beneficial to him at the next level.
You need a Joe Burrow-like quarterback.
Yes. Yes,
you need a Josh Allen. You need a Patrick Mahomes. You need to go to a situation where you have a quarterback willing to consistently test tight windows and have absolute trust in that pass catcher,
yeah,
in those situations. And those quarterbacks are just not very abundant at the NFL level.
No, but I will say the interesting thing about McMillan and kind of Mike Evans is doing the same thing. Mike Evans, before his injury, was playing 31% of his snaps in the slot. McMillan's playing a lot of snaps in the slot as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a plan that you can use him in the slot, and be able to create mismatches this way, that way, where he's not always matched up with corners on an island. Yes. But for a guy who's 6'5 and 212 pounds, you would love to not have to be scheme specific with him. Because again, McMillan's playing 21% of his snaps in the slot this year. And he's had quite a bit of production in that way. So do you draft him as a big slot because he can't separate, but he can find green grass and he'll catch everything in his radius, in his vicinity? Sure. But that also kind of feels like you're using a top five pick on a big slot then. Again, he's below 50% in contested catch situations this year too. Like that's what I keep coming back to. If you're that big and you cannot separate, you have to be able to play through contact. And that's not something that he's shown.
Oh, here's another comp. I didn't even think about it because they're different positions, but Kyle Pitts.
I thought about that as well.
But Kyle Pitts is 250 pounds and runs a 4.3.
Yeah.
And how much success are we seeing from him?
Yeah. Even with a serviceable quarterback this year. He has kind of broken out a little bit. What did he actually end up running, though? Did he run? Did he test?
Did he run?
It was the year they didn't have the combine. It was the year he came out. So he did run a 4.44 at his pro day.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
4.44 and a 33.5-inch vertical.
Was that all it was?
Uh-huh. His broad, though, was in the 98th percentile.
Yeah, makes sense.
At 6'5", 245. But again, that's 35 pounds heavier than what McMillan is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think there's question marks around his draft stock that you don't want there to be for a top five pick.
Yeah, that's been my, because I bring all of this up because every single day on my Twitter, when I bring up the Cowboys or the draft or somebody else is bringing up the Cowboys in the draft, everybody in the replies is saying, tet to the Cowboys, tet to the Cowboys. I need Tet McMillan. And we're not, first of all, these people are football fans, but they're not people like us who consume NFL draft tape all of the time and actually watch these guys. They see the highlights or, you know, see them on social media, see the stats from Arizona, and don't actually sit down and watch these guys and understand that is not a fit for Dak Prescott. That is not the type of wide receiver that Dak Prescott has found success with. So, like, I need people to understand that, yes, it is a one-of-one frame, and he is produced unlike Bond or Burden in 2024. But there is so much that terrifies me about his projection to the NFL level that I cannot ignore.
Yeah, I agree. All right, third Dafter draft. Let's talk about Travis Hunter here. Daft or draft, Travis Hunter is a first round player as both a wide receiver and a cornerback.
So I'm going to get super technical here with my answer. I'm going to daft this for myself because for me, he graded as a second round receiver, just outside of the first round. Technically speaking, he will be in my top 32 players as a wide receiver. So yes, he is, by that definition, a first-round player as a wide receiver. And he's certainly a first-round player as a corner. And when I went back through his tape this year at wide receiver, they're asking him to do a lot more. Like last year, there was a lot of run 5 yards and turn around. And if Shadur like tries to make a play, like it was pretty much, you're going to play offense and you are going to have some packages to get the ball in your hands, but you're not going to be the focal point of the offense because you have to play 90 defensive snaps right. every single week as well. There's a, no, that's out the window this year. They're asking him to run a full route tree to be a real wide receiver, 65 plays a game on offense as well as defense. And he looks really good out there. He looks really good out there. And I feel like not just on the offensive side, but the defensive side as well, he's playing a more physical brand of football.
Yes.
He still has not been able to maximize his frame. I think that he will have to get stronger at the NFL level just from a consistency standpoint. But he's been playing with more natural physicality this year, which has been nice to see, specifically because he plays in 90% of their offensive and defensive snaps. That's a lot of toll on your body. But I think he's been fantastic as a wide receiver. I really like, obviously, the natural quickness that he has is on full display as a reactive athlete at corner. So you would imagine he would be able to do it at wide receiver. But it's another thing to actually have that detail. And I feel like he is showing it much, much more consistently so far this year. Yeah. On top of having 10 of 10, like 10 out of 10 ball skills.
Yes.
There's nobody that attacks the football better than him.
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I'm going to draft this. And again, when we're talking about being a first-round player, I'm glad that you differentiated between a top 32 player versus getting a first-round grade. Yes. The purpose of grading skills are to hold the test of time. Like, if we were to stick Luther Burden and we gave him a high second-round grade, and we stuck that grade into a previous draft class, where would he rank in that class? It's not, is he a first-round player in this year? But it, like, that first-round grade holds over the test of time. Yes. But I think I'm still going to draft it. And I think it's because a lot of deficiencies on his tape at wide receiver are fatigue related.
I think that's all of his defense too.
Yeah, like the big thing for me with him as a wide receiver is I do think he plays very high hipped off the line of scrimmage. Like I think he pops straight out of his stance off the line of scrimmage, and there's a lot of wasted movement working off of the ball. I think that's incredibly coachable. And we know that he's a fluid athlete. Again, the physicality is something else, man. Like, I don't know if we saw him doing that last year. Like, it feels like every touchdown that he catches is with a guy draped on his front. Mm-hmm. Like, he's catching the ball through other people's arms. It's almost ridiculous. And then I think the most bizarre part is that, like, in 2023, he played 64% of his snaps in the slot. In 2024, he's playing 7% of his snaps in the slot. Mm-hmm. At 6'1", 185, and you mentioned, yeah, he needs to get bigger, and he does. But again, you get him into an NFL training room, but into an NFL training program. But he's 70% in contested catch situations. He's obviously there. Everything runs through Travis Hunter. I think if this guy was just strictly playing wide receiver, he would be wide receiver one in this class.
I think he's probably a Heisman candidate, as a wide receiver,
just purely a wide receiver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he should win. Him and Jancy should be the only guys we're talking about right now, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason that you should force Cam Ward or Dylan Gabriel in this conversation this year. Let it be Travis Hunter. Let it be Ashton Jeanty. Have fun with it. But yeah, I'm going to draft it because I do think if he wasn't playing 150 snaps a game, we would see perhaps some cleaner technique and things like that in areas where I think this is kind of the only red flags I see in his game as a wide receiver.
So then here's my issue. Because he's so good at both, the NFL can't play him at both. But he is going to want to play wide receiver. Uh-huh. Because if he cares about money at all, he's going to want to play wide receiver. And so I do wonder just how that's going to affect him mentally, emotionally at the NFL level, knowing like I could catch 80 passes a year and be a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver and make $35 million a year, or I could be CB1 and make $25 million a year.
Yeah.
and have to play defense. Like,
and have to play defense.
It's just because no matter what, like even Pat Surtain, Champ Bailey, Revis, you're going to look stupid every once in a while playing corner.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it goes. It's the name of the game. You're never going to look like a fool out there playing wide receiver unless you are just a dope, which, again, with Hunter, probably the most intelligent football player I've ever seen. And that extends to the offensive side of the ball because I've talked about him on the defensive side of the ball and his ability in zone coverage. But the ability to plan out his attack before the ball even gets to his hands and be able to make guys miss just innately and still have absolute full concentration on the football as it's still arriving to him is something that I don't think I've ever seen before. Like, ever. Like, there are guys who are unbelievable after the catch. There's guys who have great feel. But it's actually like he has eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. And if his contact balance was better, if he was a little bit more physical, we're talking about somebody who would have a Debo-like post-catch ability. Like, insane generational type ability after the catch.
Yeah.
But he's just not sturdy enough to have that yet.
And we talk about Tetero McMillan's arms, and Travis Hunter has absolute vines as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got absolute vines as well. So I had to look this up because we've talked about the closest comp to what Travis Hunter is at the NFL level is probably his head coach.
Yeah.
It's probably Deion Sanders, listed at 6'1", 195 when he was playing football. So Travis Hunter's listed at 6'1", 185. But can he add on 10 pounds of muscle? Sure. In 1996, Deion Sanders played pretty much full-time wide receiver and corner. That's the only year he did. He did have some targets like in Atlanta before that as well. Like, but we're talking like 10 targets in 1993, 11 targets in 1998. Not significant. 1996, 67 targets, 36 yards or 36 catches, 475 yards receiving and one receiving touchdown as well. On top of being the return specialist that he was as well, six career punt return touchdowns. And in 1996, he only had one return. So they did peel him off punt return that year for playing both ways. And Travis Hunter doesn't really play special teams, but I think we could see that. I mean, 67 targets is what? Three targets a game?
Mm-hmm.
Four targets a game? Like, that's not a lot of workload on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that could keep him happy. I think that could keep him happy. But again, I do think he's a player where you're going to have to find a way to get him the football on the offensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. I think no matter what, he has to be a part of your offensive game plan some one way or another.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I look at that 1996 season when Deion was 29 and where he put up 36 catches, 475 and a touchdown. I think that's something that we could legitimately see Travis Hunter do. And not just one year of his career. Yeah. Maybe by the time he hits 27, 28, 29, you want to start peeling back some offensive snaps. But like while he's still 21, 22, 23, get him on the field 15 offensive snaps a game. Target him 4 or 5 times a game. Like,
yeah,
you have to get the ball in his hands. And because I do think at the end of the day, he would be a first round type wide receiver if he wasn't playing on the defensive side of the ball full time as well. First round grade type receiver. Again, even as a receiver, I would agree that I would probably give him a top 32 grade as well. Mm-hmm. But yep.
I mean, just right now, and I have like wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, and some offensive tackles, some edge rushers done right now. But Travis Hunter is my number one player at corner, and Travis Hunter is my number six player overall at wide receiver right now. The guys I have ahead of him are Mason Graham, Will Johnson, Ashton Janty, and Isaiah Bond. And Travis Hunter at corner. Like,
yeah.
That's how good he is. And that also goes to show, like, this class isn't awesome because I listed those guys, and they're all first-round picks, and Hunter's the first second-round grade at overall number six.
Yeah. It's not great.
But the very top of the class is a lot of fun. Like, the very, very top is fun. It's just after that, it kind of falls off a cliff. Like, I think the biggest difference between last year and this year is there were a lot of first round guys last year on top of a couple of blue chip guys. This year, there's a couple of blue chip guys and then second rounders.
Yep. Agreed.
Weird year.
Agreed. I will be curious if I have more than seven first round grades.
I think I will, because I think I will have, yeah, I will. But it might not be more than 12.
Okay. I have finalized most of the top. Not most of the top. That's a lie. But I have two right now, and that's only Mason Graham and Ashton Jeancey.
So you haven't done Hunter yet.
No, yeah. I haven't done Johnson yet. Like, I haven't done corners yet. So Hunter and Johnson for sure, probably going to get up there.
Did I say Johnson? Because I meant to say Johnson.
I think he did. I don't remember.
He hasn't played a ton so far this year, guys. He's still a blue chip guy. Like
for sure.
Nobody talks. And I tweeted this out earlier today. Like, nobody has said a fucking word about Will Johnson all year. I haven't heard his name once. Mm-mm. That dude is still that dude. Mm-hmm. Still that dude.
Yep. But like, I didn't put a first round grade on Will Campbell, even as a guard. I didn't put a first round grade on Kelvin Banks. Like, and again, with some athletic testing, I think like a guy like Will Campbell could get up there if he tests well, but like, I don't know, man. Like I haven't seen a whole lot, but I do. I mean, I have a high two on Will Campbell, but
yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. Let's talk about Will Campbell specifically, because I'm seeing a lot of people push back at the idea of making him a guard, because first of all, they say length isn't important at offensive tackle, which for the most part, I actually agree with, but the NFL doesn't seem to care. But they're saying the move inside might not work because of his stance, because he's so upright in his stance at tackle. Will he be able to bend his knees as a guard in the stance and work that way? And I think he's a good enough athlete that he shouldn't have an issue in a new stance. But I did see Duke talking about this on Twitter a little bit. Stances are incredibly unique to the athlete. And so I do wonder how much trouble he might have being a little bit more square and in that guard stance rather than a traditional tackle stance. And a traditional tackle stance that is also very upright.
Yes. Yes, it is. That is really interesting.
Yeah. Because it's not something, and this is what I really like to do. I like to hear people's perspectives on things, because I can't think of every situation.
Right.
And so when somebody comes up and says something like that, it does. It makes you reevaluate things a little bit. Like, hey, like, could this be an issue? And then that's kind of the way that you have to think about it. But same thing happened with somebody bringing up Luther Burden and Tet as a fit for Dak Prescott, and saying, this is why, like, hey, I think Luther Burden is a better fit, and he's somebody I like for the Cowboys early on. And I had to ask, like, why? Why is he a better fit than Tet? And it's because of the type of wide receiver that he is compared to Tet. I agreed with that, but I just disagree on the evaluation of Burden overall, I guess. Mm-hmm.
That is really interesting. I haven't really thought about the stance thing, but what I do know about his tape is that he's better when he's frame to frame with the guy across from him.
Right.
And what he's worse at is dealing with speed and bend off the edge. Like, right. That's where he gets cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just an okay athlete, like above average athlete, but I don't think he's an extraordinary athlete. And I think that's where I dinged him the most. Like, the NFL, you are going against extremely good athletes, top of the tier athletes all the time. And so, like, I think that's where I struggle most with Will Campbell, is that, like, I don't see a super fluid mover when he's redirecting. You know, I don't see a lot of, like, a pure mover when he's asked to get wider climb. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stiffness in his lower half that I struggle with.
Yeah, so I watched him a little bit today because I'm trying to do, like, the top of my big board right now. And I watched two quarters of him against Texas A&M, and I said, yeah, this isn't he's not going to be a top five guy on my board. It's probably not going to be a top 10 guy on my board. And he's still a good player. But I do think, like, I watched Abdul Carter
Yeah.
And I think Abdul Carter would absolutely obliterate Will Campbell at offensive tackle because he is.
Kyle Pennard did.
Well, yeah. But I don't think it's necessarily a length issue either, because I think Abdul Carter is 32 inch arms. His arms are not anatomically long. He looks short armed, but it doesn't matter a lot. Like Micah, it doesn't matter all that much for him, because he specifically is really able to control the wrist. And that's something that I've seen Will Campbell struggle with along the arc. And I don't think that's necessarily a length issue per se. Uh-huh. But when you are able to get into his chest with that left hand and control with the right, that makes Campbell's life a lot more difficult for himself. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the issue that I see with him giving up that arc rush a little bit more than what I would like to see from what is supposed to be a franchise left tackle.
Yeah, agreed. And again, that's ultimately why I'm going to grade him as a guard. If you mm-hmm. can't stop speed and bend, like if you don't have good knee bend, if you don't have good flexibility, like I don't – length be damned. Like if you don't have that, if you don't have knee bend, like what are we doing here? So, yeah, but we got a little bit outside of the wide receiver talk there at the end there with Will Campbell.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
It's a little preview for Bill Maher's up here coming up in the next – week or so. So yeah, I like having those conversations, but yeah, that's another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Another edition of Daft or Draft. We talked about three wide receivers in this class. I hope you enjoyed. Again, we'll be back tomorrow, health willing and feeling a little bit better. So we'll be back tomorrow, to talk about week 12 and what kind of one-on-one matchups there are in terms of draft prospects. So, we're dwindling here. It's getting a lot of fun down the stretch here. So we're going to get into some more ranking specific discourse, which is so much fun. So much fun. More in-depth finalized scouting reports to talk about. So stay tuned. But for now, this is another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.